Jesus Christ is the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and ruler of the kings of the earth. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord, the one who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Jesus answered, "You say I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Quantus tremor est futurus, quando iudex est venturus, cuncta stricte discus surus. Tuba mirum spargens sonum, per sepulchro regionem, coget omnes ante thronum, mors stupebit et natura cum resurget creatura, judicanti responsura. Liber scriptus proferetur in quo totum continetur, unde mundus judicetur. Judex ergo cum sedebit, quidquid latet operebit, nil in nultum reminabit. Quid sum miser tunc dicturus, quem patronum rogaturus, cum vix justus sit securus. Rex tremende majestatis, qui salvandos salvas gratis, salva me fons pietatis. You know? I have come to love these words from the Latin funeral mass, and they don't sound as cool in English, but here's a translation. How great will be the terror when the judge comes who will smash everything completely. The trumpet scattering a marvelous sound through the tombs of every land will gather all before the throne. Death and nature shall stand amazed when all creation rises again to answer to the judge. A written book will be brought forth which contains everything for which the world will be judged. Therefore, when the judge takes his seat, whatever is hidden will be revealed. Nothing shall remain unavenged. What can a wretch like me say? Who will intercede for me when even the just ones need mercy? O King of tremendous majesty, who freely saves the redeemed ones, save me, you, O source of mercy. Like the finale of a great orchestral work, this solemnity of our Lord Jesus Christ, the King of the universe, puts a fitting end to our celebration of ordinary time. Over the last month or so, the readings on Sundays, and since last week, the weekday readings, have been preparing us for this moment of triumph and the victory of Jesus the King. The words of Scripture, especially from Daniel, the prophet of the Apocalypse, and the book of Revelation, and then these words from the funeral mass, they give us a sense, I think, of the grandeur and the power that will come when Jesus comes again in his rightful place as judge over all the nations and as king of every corner of the cosmos. Today's feast is about three things: religion, fear, and confidence. Religion. Listen again to the words of the opening prayer. Almighty ever-living God, whose will is to restore all things in your beloved Son, the King of the universe. And then the words that I'll pray in the preface today, just before the Holy, Holy, Holy. Making all created things subject to his rule, he might present to the immensity of your majesty an eternal and universal kingdom. So restore all things in himself to present to the Father a universal kingdom. We are speaking today of making all things one in Christ, who, as I've said many times, is not a fuddy-duddy Slurpee machine or a nice bag of Oreos. He's not a massage or kumbaya. He is the King. Everything, when you really think about it, revolves around that identity of Christ. And the whole purpose of religion is to bring all things into one. The word religion comes from two Latin words, re and ligere, Lijo. Re, of course, is the prefix that means to do over or to do again. Lijo, ligere, is the verb which means to tie together or to bind. So we see that religion is to bind together or to tie up together, to restore all things in Christ, to bring together again all things into the unity of a single entity, Jesus. It is his will to restore all things in his beloved Son, that he might present an eternal and universal kingdom. So here we get a sense of the fulfillment of our worship, of our prayer, of our conversion of life, of all of our charitable deeds. The fulfillment of everything we do is the bringing together into one of all aspects of our life in Christ, who is the King. Okay? Number two, fear. We all know from religious ed that there are seven gifts of the Holy Spirit, and that one of them is fear of the Lord. This is not the same, of course, as the fear of tornadoes or spiders or DuPage County property tax bill. Fear of the Lord is sometimes translated as wonder and awe in the presence of God. You can hear this kind of fear in the words of the Requiem Mass I quoted earlier. What can a wretch like me say? So you're standing there looking at the judge seated on the throne. What can a wretch like me say when even the just ones are needing mercy? All I can say is, King of tremendous majesty, save me, you, O source of mercy. To wonder at something is to be stupefied by it, to be taken aback by it, astounded by its beauty, power, elegance, and strength. To be in the presence of a truly wonderful thing is to feel as if you are seeing a familiar thing for the very first time. I've never seen that before, but I feel like it's been a part of me forever. When I lived here, I used to sit on the porch of the rectory and watch the sunset over the Hinsdale Golf Club. Usually I was wishing that the sun would set on the Hinsdale Golf Club, if you know what I mean, but that is a different homily. How many times have we seen the sunset in our life? Probably thousands of times. And yet sometimes you see it, you see one, and it simply takes your breath away. You feel lost in it. It's the first time you've seen a sunset, and you're captivated by its beauty. All at once you feel sad because you feel like this incredible thing is only going to last a few minutes, but then you feel kind of happy and hopeful because you feel like, oh, maybe I could catch the same thing tomorrow. It's a situation of being mixed up, having mixed feelings. It's a sadness that's not sad. It's a joy that's not yet joy. And in the presence of such a profound and beautiful mystery, like God, the Holy Trinity, when we are in the presence of Jesus, the Messiah and King, all at once we want to fall down on our faces in worship and dance around in joy and celebration and fall to our knees in sorrow and repentance. And I think the feast today is about all of these things, because we really do believe that Jesus will come again. We really do believe that he will come, that the trumpet will sound, that the graves will be open, that the dead will rise, that the book will be opened, and the final judgment will come forth from the mouth of the Lord. And what could we possibly feel in that moment if not wonder and awe? Certainly I'll be nervous because I know that I've been a real big dumb idiot in my life, but I will feel joy to be able to look upon someone so incredibly beautiful, powerful, majestic. This man whose face and body and presence fully encapsulate everything I've ever wanted to see and feel. It's amazing. Which leads me to my third point, confidence. Face it, God is God and we are not. Tough. But when you consider that God has supreme sovereignty over all the earth, things don't seem so bad. It gets better. God has supreme sovereignty over all the earth and has come to his creation for the sole purpose of reconciling creation, of religereing it to himself. His main desire and goal and wish is that all things in every corner of the cosmos would be one with him again. That's not so bad. In the face of major tragedy, it's sometimes the one thing that we're tempted to say, but as we all know, it's the worst thing for someone to say. Don't worry. Everything happens for a reason. But what if everything does happen for a reason? The more I've lived my own life, all 26 years of it, and I faced my own pain head on, but also now since being a deacon and a priest and having the chance to have a front row seat into the lives of so many people and situations, I'm really beginning to feel more confident in this idea that perhaps everything does happen for a reason, even if the reason is nothing more than to foster our growth in Christ. At the end of the day, I think we can say that everything that happens to us becomes a means for our further growth in Christ. In other words, to reconcile more and more in new ways all the time, everything back into himself, that he might become both the king of the universe and the king of my little universe, not just in word, I love you, Jesus, but also in fact. I'm certain that God is alive, that God is powerful, that he has a plan for my life, and that he is constantly working for the good of those who love him. And this fills me with great confidence, gratitude, and with the desire to serve him, to serve the one who has been nothing but good and gracious to me. The trumpet scattering a marvelous sound through the tombs of every land will gather all before the throne. Therefore, when the judge takes his seat, whatever is hidden will be revealed. What can a wretch like me say? Save me. I love you. I need you. I'm sorry. I want you. Jesus, King of love, I am confident in you. Give us, Jesus, a share in your kingdom. Give us, Jesus, a share in your life. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. And just like that, from brightness and light and trumpets, it will be dark again. Advent is coming next week. From this crescendo, Jesus, King of love, we are confident in you. What's the next thing that wants to come out of our mouth? But come, Lord Jesus. And that's the theme of Advent. Advent is coming. Come, Lord Jesus. He wants to become more and more the king of your life and of your heart. So invest in these next weeks leading up to Christmas. Invest in that journey. Read the readings. Go to confession. Listen to him. Talk to him. Cry out for mercy. Save me, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. And then truly heed the call to prepare the way of the Lord. Amen.